Welcome to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. Here are your hosts, Blake, Tyler, and Rob.
Welcome in and Merry Creedmas from where we are to where you are. This is the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast, Wednesday, December 6th. A very special happy birthday to my co-host, Rob. Also, Tyler is here. I am your main host, Blake, and we've got a great show for you folks. Rob and Tyler, how are we doing tonight?
I don't think we ever agreed on you being the main host. I don't know how that came host.
Up. Well, you know. The hosted intros. So
I just thought that you would take the fact that I actually called you a co-host rather than always saying I am your host joined by. I gave you an actual title, not Tyler. So maybe you should just shut up and take it.
No, that's like being one of 17 vice presidents in your department at the bank.
True, they do have a lot of vice presidents at a bank.
Well, if you listen to all of our podcasts here in the Bag Clan Studios. Production company there was a hangover podcast released yesterday from our dynasty fantasy affiliate called The Hangover. Tyler's the host over there, and just he fucked up that intro just thoroughly, and I just want to say I didn't fuck this one up, so I just really wanted to point that one out while also pimping our other products.
Yeah
it was bad.
Congratulations on doing your job.
Oh boy. Like I said, great show for you guys. I don't think we have any special segments, but we have we will probably get into some playoffs implications here as we go through some of the matchups that actually matter. Really, most teams are locked in. There's seeding, it has a chance, but we'll get into that later. Got news and notes, some actually pretty implicating news with implications that we're gonna get through.
There you go.
Go through our matchups after we hit some transactions. So, guys, got anything else to add? How you feeling this week?
Nothing to add. Feeling good. I'm one of those people that's locked in. I can't do any better or worse than what I am. So it's kind of a cruise control this week.
Can't we flip? Oh no, because you lost last week, and I have the tiebreaker.
Oh no, I have more points than you. So technically, we could flip. If you lost, then I won.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Whatever. You're talking a three seed or a four seed.
Yeah, like that matters. I'm not getting a bye is the important thing. So don't care.
All right. Well, let's get into some news, folks.
Knock, knock. Who's there? The news.
All right. So, I mean, it's not crazy news. It has some very slight implications, but Tim Boyle, quarterback for the New York Jets, released, was a starter, 5 days ago for this team, benching Zach Wilson. So they've released the man, fired him. You're done. And then after some tumultuous conversations, Zach Wilson is now the starter once again after being relegated to the third string.
Insane.
Comment on this. I guess I'll leave it to you guys to comment on this for as far as it means for the fantasy assets of the Jets, Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall primarily. And then just if you want to touch on how much of a train wreck the Jets organization is, go ahead and do that.
I mean, that's where I would start. I don't think it makes a whole lot of difference for Garrett Wilson and the rest of the offense because they were inconsistent at best, regardless of who was quarterback.
It's good for him when you have a quarterback with even a shred of talent, even though he probably doesn't have it between the ears. At least he has the arm talent to get the ball there.
I suppose. But at any rate, I don't think it doesn't do much what you've thought of most of the year. Here's the thing is that when this happened, I remember talking to you, Blake, and I'm saying, well, you can't bring Zach back after you relegate him to the third string. I mean, you can't, because what confidence can anybody on that team have in him as a starter when you not only put somebody else in there, but you said, hey, not only Boyle are you starting, but Simeon, who was on the practice squad, you're number two, and you're going to be the emergency guy, Zach. So enjoy your lot. That lasted for 2 weeks, and it's like, hey, Zach, I guess we'll get rid of that guy and we'll put you back in. Dysfunction all over that entire organization. It's just not the way you handle your quarterback. They had the chance after at the beginning of the year when Rodgers went down to do something about it, and instead they've played pussyfoot the entire year with their quarterback position. And what they're reaping now is what they sowed. They deserve everything they're getting, which is nothing. They're getting a big stinky turd in their stocking for Christmas.
I said
Congrats,
it
Jets.
in I said it to you, Rob, while we were watching football together in Boyle's first start. It's like you're watching that game. Wow, maybe it wasn't a Zach Wilson problem. Maybe it's a team problem. I don't know, because Tim Boyle looks the same, if not worse, than Zach Wilson did under center. Like, it was atrocious both weeks.
Yeah, the decision making was not any better, and he couldn't throw it as far. That was the difference, is that he couldn't, like Tyler, to what Tyler said, he couldn't bomb it downfield. At least Zach could throw it more than 40 yards if he needed to. It wasn't always going to be accurate. Might have been to the other team, but he could throw it that far. So yeah, garbage.
Yeah, no, this is a team that currently is tied for the number five pick with four other teams. So they're between five and eight right now. I think there's six on tiebreakers. This is a team that needs to draft whoever the third quarterback is off the board, and Jordan Love him. Like, you're behind Rodgers for a year. Rodgers is done. He's gonna get his swan song, and then it's you. And just take whoever you think, you know, you can mold, and that's your quarterback of the future. I know they have other problems, but that has to be the best case scenario for the long-term health of this franchise.
Yeah.
So Tyler, before we move on from this, put yourself in Zach Wilson's shoes on this. You've been told that you're benched. You're not going to be starting the rest of the season. At least that's what it seems. And then now all of a sudden we would like you to start again. What does that do for your confidence? A, for this year. B, for your just like football career. Like, how are you even feeling going forward as with this team and like with even with the future team? Because obviously Zach Wilson's future is not on the Jets.
All right, well, let me put myself into Zach Wilson's shoes. Hot moms, soaking, soaking. Yeah, no, my f confidence is fine. From a football standpoint, your confidence was shattered years ago. It's
True.
it maybe got a little bit better when Rodgers was teaching you, and then they did you dirty again. This is a need a new situation sort of, you know, thing. He's gonna go be, you know, a backup somewhere like Drew Lock, you know. Probably better Drew Lock. And he's just going to be a solid backup, I assume. And if he has any sort of you know, leadership ability or like the glue kind of charisma keeping the guys together sort of thing, he'll be a backup for a long time.
All right. Dallas Goedert is coming off that fractured forearm, expected to play versus the Cowboys. He was ruled out early before game last week's game, but basically the whole plan was to come back this week versus the Cowboys.
Yeah, practiced in full today. It wouldn't surprise me if they kind of ease him in and they pick their spots with him. You know, I don't think he's gonna be in on like the, you know, you're on the goal line and we're doing the tush push. Maybe don't have Goddard in coming off of a broken arm, but
Yeah, probably
you
won't be
know,
doing that.
yeah. Otherwise, I would assume if he's playing, he's fine.
And he's playing. They took him off the injury report completely. They didn't even make him questionable on today's practice. He practiced in full, and they completely removed him and named him healthy. So he's good to go. We'll do all the tight end stuff that they've been not having anybody do because they didn't have a tight end worth anything. So it goes back to pre-injury as far as the way targets go in that offense. It takes Smith down,
Helps AJ
and
Brown.
what?
It helps AJ Brown.
It helps AJ Brown immensely because you've got somebody that's taking those middle targets, and AJ Brown's he'll go back to that streak where he was over 100 and whatever yards every freaking week. So it
Yeah,
helps their
I
offense in total.
yeah, we love that. Coming from an AJ Brown owner in Dynasty.
Yeah.
Okay, so this next little bit here, it's not Josh Palmer. 21-day practice window has been opened. He's not been, obviously, he's been on IR for quite a while. So he's not been impactful in redraft this year. But coming back, maybe the Chargers are still in that bubble. Does he help Justin Herbert for a fantasy team on a playoff push? Like, in the playoffs, I guess?
Not enough to care about. Yeah, it probably helps him in real life better, but... Yeah, I mean, whatever. You're not going to have Quentin Johnson dropping three of the most easy passes you've ever seen.
Right. They'll actually get caught because those targets will go somewhere else. It hurts him, but he's been hurting himself. He's probably, I mean, I think I saw a thing where he's like, they took the next 10 receivers taken after Quentin Johnson, and they all are having better seasons than he is as far as yards and catches. So, like Blake has said many times on this very program, that there were questions about him coming in. And at the time, Dallas was sort of looking at him. The rumor was, and all of us who are Dallas fans were like, please don't draft this kid. He is got bust written all over him, and it's looking that way.
Yeah, I think that it'll be interesting coming into this upcoming rookie class where we have a bunch of – last year it was like all the guys were like 5'9", 165 pounds, right? They were all Tank Dell. Right. And Quentin Johnson was the one that was like that stereotypical size, but he didn't separate in college. He had those 50-50 balls that he caught. With this year, it being more of that stereotypical size, I wonder if we see teams say, if you're not getting separation in college, we're just not even going to take the shot on you. Like, we're not going to go after the jump ball people anymore.
Yeah, which makes sense, because if you can't get separation in college, you're definitely not going to get it at the pro level, because, you know, your third corner is – faster than a lot of the people that those guys are facing in college.
All right, so getting into some of the major injuries, we'll just kind of go straight into the receivers, talking about Tank Dell. Traumatic injury for this guy. I mean, it sucks. He was having such a great breakout year with his rookie quarterback in Stroud. But breaks, I believe it was his ankle was the official injury report, but he had surgery this week on it. He's done for the season.
Yeah, it's his fibia, so I think they said 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah, and kind of on a senseless play, you don't like to see that where they're bringing in, again, the 5'9", 165-pound guy to come in and try to block a D-end, and you just get rolled up on by a 300-pounder. Yeah, that not great play design. Put him in a bad situation. That's on the coaches, and they need to be better.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, Blake, put it best. It's like too bad for him because he was having a breakout season, and it helped that entire offense having Tank Dell, Collins, and at times Brown. And then when the doctor was in there at the tight end spot, it was like you had a healthy offense that could spread it around, and the doc's been hurt. And now with Tank Dell hurt, it hurts that entire offense.
Yeah. Also Christian Kirk on Monday night, yes, because he went down on his first catch, and it looked like he was grabbing his groin. I thought he had a groin injury, but it was a abdominal issue. And yeah, after looking more into it, it's basically what used to be a sports hernia, but they've now renamed it to a core muscle injury. So yes, I believe exactly. That he's going to have surgery on that if he hasn't already. And that's, you know, 9 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 to 9 or something like that.
Yeah, he's donezo for the year. And it was too bad. It was too bad because when he first went down, it was like, I mean, he didn't come down that awkward. It was like, yeah, he was twisting a little bit. But then when you find out it's a core injury, it's like, okay, that makes sense. He twisted a little bit, and it tore, and that was that, and he was done. And yeah, you can't do anything about that except have surgery and come back and rehab.
Yeah, no, I wasn't watching the game. I was just watching on Twitter, or, you know, kind of watching the news and stuff through Twitter. And everyone's like, oh, Christian Kirk is down. It's like, okay. And then I see, you know, the Twitter docs get on and it's like, hey, like testicular torsion is in play here. Like he might've twisted something. It's like, I obviously I'm not, you know, a doc. I'm not even remotely close enough to being smart enough to be a doc, but I'm like, that doesn't look like a ball injury. Right. But yeah, when you hear, oh, it's a hernia and he twisted wrong and tore it. Okay. Yeah. That makes way more.
I 100% thought, because you watched that route, he was not contacted almost the entire time until he caught the ball and was on the ground and then got touched down. Because it was like an outpost route. And I thought, like, on his cut out, he, like, pulled his groin because that's what he was grabbing for. And no, yeah, I was not. Yeah, crazy, crazy that how that how
kudos for him for hanging on to the ball.
Yeah,
also
though that slight little, you know, everybody says football's a game of inches. That slight turn tears open your core. It's crazy.
Yeah, and he had I think he had a history of this as well. So possibly already weakened.
All right, well there you go.
Same team, Trevor Lawrence goes down with an ankle injury during the game. Everybody watching, I know Rob and I, when it first happened before they started showing all the slow motions, was like, maybe it was Tyler and I. Yeah, he's torn another Achilles. Like, that's another Achilles tear for a quarterback. Dunskies. But no, he got stepped on his ankle. I think it was the same ankle that he kind of had a sprain on last year. So they're saying it's officially a high ankle sprain. He's not quite ruled out for this week, but he'll be back this season.
Yeah,
he might even be back next week.
Yes, I don't think he'll play this week, but I think he will probably be back next week. Week 15, I think that's what he might be shooting for. Because as long as they can stabilize it, it's not like he's a receiver or a running back that he's got to, it just means they're going to call different plays. He's not going to be running. He's going to be dropping back and throwing, but I don't think he'll play this week.
You think it was that like 3 country miles they made him walk to the locker room instead of getting a cart for their franchise quarterback that helped him get back to this from this injury?
No, there was actually, they talked about that and I don't remember. I remember seeing the story, but there was a reason why they did that. But I can't tell you right now what it was.
All right, sticking with ankles, Ramondre Stevenson. I don't know the nature of his ankle injury, but I know it is an ankle injury. He's out for multiple weeks is the last I heard. Zeke's going to be taking the bulk in that backfield. That hurts Ramondre owners.
Yeah, high ankle. I wouldn't expect to see him back, especially with where the Patriots are. Second in the draft order right now. Pass to the pick, play Zeke. And rock and roll.
Yep, he's done for the year. There's no point in bringing him back.
All right, guys, anything else that we want to talk about that I missed?
Not that I can think of. Other than if Lawrence was going to get hurt, he could have done it on the first couple plays, a la Rodgers, so that I might have won my matchup instead of waiting until the game was already over and I was beaten.
No, you're good.
Yeah, no, just you could have done it earlier, Lawrence. No,
you're good. You're good. You don't need it.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Let's get all up into the transactions.
This shit's unbelievable. I checked the accounts receivable. It's inconceivable to think that you would fuck with me on the brink of my transactions.
Alrighty, I'm not looking because I don't think we'd had any trades before the deadline, which was on Tuesday.
So actually, it was today.
Was it today?
Today at noon.
Yeah, I thought it was Thursday at noon, but either way, whatever.
Whatever. It was the 6th at 12 p.m.
We had 4 additions happen this week. Texans defense, $0 to fly goes fly. Jake Browning, $0 goes to the Wieners. There we go. Flagus Flight also adds the Packers D for $1, and then Fantasy Reapers, big money, big spender, $19 to add Zeke, dropping Isaiah Likely.
Yep. I was scared of exactly, I think it was 3 teams that I was scared of picking up Zeke. 2 of them bid their entire fab in Flagus Fly and Nick, and Blake didn't bid at all, so I bid more than Blake had. And I still have more than Blake has going forward, so I wasn't worried about that. So I said, you know what, I think this is the last guy that's out there that could potentially be a game changer going forward if he gets all the volume, so I'm just going to get him.
Yeah, and for me, the reason I have 2 defenses is I set up 3 waivers. I set up Zeke. I think I have $8 left, so I set him up for 7. I set up the Packers because they were the defense I wanted to add because they have a good matchup against the Giants. So I was like, I'll do $1. And I was like 7th in the waiver. So I was like, if somebody throws $1 on them ahead of me, then I'll just take the Texans for $0. Well, I had 2 spots, and so I got 2 defenses. So since nobody bid on them. So, oh well.
Yes, and I guess I can pull up the waiver wire also here quick, but Wieners add Jake Browning. Their quarterback that they've had is Trevor Lawrence, obviously probably not playing this week.
Right.
Is Jake Browning going to be better than, oh gosh.
Yeah, there's Gardner not much Mitchell? There. I mean.
Who are they playing this week?
They're playing against each other.
Yeah, the Cincinnati is playing the Colts.
Well, then I think Jake Browning kind of came into his own last week. And against that Indy secondary, I'm fine with him.
Yeah, you have a great receiver that at any time can take something to the house, evidenced by a 75-yard touchdown. So I'm fine with the Browning dart throw.
Yeah, I think Minshew would be the only other one I would look at. And no, I'm fine with if you decide you want Browning over Minshew, that's fine. It doesn't bother me.
You're telling me you don't want to start Desmond Ridder or Tommy DeVito, multi-week starters? Are you really telling me that right now?
I sure
am. Saying? Oh, and he doesn't want to pick up Mitchell Trubisky for that for the spot start.
All right,
I would literally, I think Mitchell Trubisky, I think him and Zappe, I'd rather just not play a quarterback. There is such a high chance they get you fucking negative points this week. That Thursday game is going to be an abomination. It's going to be an Iowa game for the NFL, and I can't wait to bet on it. I already have a parlay.
I've already bet the under with, for me, a significant amount of money.
What we're doing is we're parlaying the under, New England to score less than 10 points, and let's see, probably, I don't know, probably something else in there. Probably New England spread to cover.
Trubisky to throw a pick?
What's that?
He'll throw a pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll like probably throw two touchdowns, too.
Over 3.5 picks total. Yeah, it's gonna be bad.
Yeah, some other after waivers additions we had. I added Chris Rodriguez Jr. for the Redskins, and T-Bags added Parker Washington for the young receiver who went off for Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean Parker Washington is a decent speculation ad just because he got better once Christian Kirk was gone, but. You know, we'll see. You're going to have C.J. Beathard this week, so good luck figuring out what to do as you go into the playoffs.
Yeah, and Chris Rodriguez is also a speculative ad. I believe he's a rookie. I have to double-check on that, but we know that team doesn't like Antonio Gibson. With Brian Robinson out, why not? Why not take a shot on a guy?
Sure.
All right, let's get into our gut check quick.
I don't have that bumper up, so we're just rolling with
what?
It.
What?
Yeah, you always forget to remind me to pull that up.
I would assume after several weeks of having it, you would have saved it in the bumpers file. Like
no,
you
I sure
did
didn't. Else. Not there. Not there, so it doesn't exist to me.
Kimmel. Oh, Jesus. I'm drinking Kimmel.
Drinking all the aspartame or whatever the fuck it is. Give me that Diet Pepsi, bitch.
Pretty sure I met an aspartame when I was in India.
There you go.
Oh, yeah? Isn't that the good guys in Halo?
What?
Wah-wah.
Wah-wah. Despondence.
Jesus. I am having, as always, I'm double fisting.
Oh, imagine.
I've got a Godfather Scotch and Amaretto, and then I've got a iced tea, but with a splash of vodka called an ice pick.
Mm.
Very little vodka.
That's just called an iced tea with vodka.
Yeah.
That's called an ice pick.
No.
That's called alcohol.
Look it up. Look it up right now. Use your computer and Google.
I'll believe you.
Ice pick cocktail. Iced tea and vodka.
Yep, no, an icicle. You. Got it. It's an icicle. Got it. Ice pond. Perfect.
You guys are so depressing, like almost all the time. I'm here trying to have fun, having a good time on Wednesday.
You're trying to kill people with ice picks. This is what I'm gathering.
Yeah.
If I owned a true ice pick, I would. You would see me on the 9 o'clock news. Serial killer, a metaphorical giant.
Yeah.
They wouldn't show you on the 9 o'clock news because you are not newsworthy at all.
Tyler, if I murdered you with several stab holes, I would be very newsworthy.
Nah, I'm not newsworthy either.
Yeah, also true.
They would just be like, man dead, on to sports.
Jesus Christ. All right, Tyler, if I can play us into the goddamn matchups.
Boy, I was taking a drink.
I don't care. Yeah,
would they really say man dead, or would they
shove
say
your aspirinartes up your ass?
Would they say man dead, or would they say small humanoid character?
Unidentifiable hobbit found dead.
Were you aware that I wasn't sharing my sound?
Oh, no.
That kind of, you know, made it hard to hear the bump.
The Bulldogs!
Yale Bulldogs!
Yeah, wow.
Not so fast!
Our first matchup is between the 9-4 Fantasy Reapers versus the 6-7 Fighting Hedgehogs. We are going to hear that record quite a bit tonight, 6-7, because I believe there's four teams out of the 10 of us that have the record 6-7. And all of us are fighting for a fucking playoff spot. But Tyler, do you want me to toss it to you for playoff implications per matchup? Do you have those things listed? Can you pull them out of your ass at the top of your head? Why don't you go ahead and give them to me then?
Fantasy Reapers win and they guarantee the 3 seed, lose and Rob has the door open to take the 3 seed rather than the 4 seed. Fighting Hedgehogs. The Hedgehogs, unfortunately, are in kind of a rough spot because of where they are in points. They both need to win to get in, and they need, both the Iowa Corn Wieners and Backdoor Hot Snakes to lose. Do I have that right?
Yes. Yep. Yes, because they're both of them have more points.
Yeah, because they're fighting for 2 spots, right?
Yes.
Well, no. If only one of them lost, then they could still get in on tiebreaker, right?
No, because they have less points than both those teams.
Yeah, but if one won and one lost, we need to start this over. This is terrible. let's see.
Oh yes. Okay. So yeah.
Because
yes, if they won, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
And one lost. Yes, they would get in.
So, long story short, if you lose, you're eliminated. If you're Hogs, if you win, you need losses in front of you by Wieners
one of them.
Or Snakes to get in.
We got it now. Perfect.
All right. Tyler, let's, because, you know, it's always a different moment in the podcast and in the matchups when we go over this. How did we do in picking last week?
Oh my God, you're really making me just jump between tabs today.
You know,
last week.
You said you were having a bad day, and I just am trying to make it work.
Last week, Blake, you know what really cheers me up is when you're ass. 2-3. You suck. Dice, right there with you. 2-3.
Nice.
Rob, not quite as bad. 3-2. Tyler with the 4-1, baby. Let's go.
Where does that bring us for the season?
On the season, Rob is at 41-19 for a 683 win percentage. Tyler is 33-22 for a 600 win percentage. Blake is 33-27 for a 550 win percentage. And the dice is 27-28.
Mm. For nearly 50.
Damn. So what, I have 5 more guesses than you, but the same number of wins? That's depressing.
Yeah, because I think you guys did one podcast where I didn't get my picks in.
Yeah. All right, I've got dice this week. We're rolling a D6, but let's get into these teams. Tyler, why don't you take us through your 9-4 team, currently projecting 146 points, your favorite in this matchup. Take us through.
All right, we start off with the stack of disappointment in Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. It no longer matters if Taylor Swift is at the game. They are going to be terrible. So that's great. Joe Mixon against Indy with a backup quarterback. Hope he falls into the end zone. Otherwise, I'm trash. Jerome Ford looks great. Stat line looks great. Oh, wait. His snap percentage went from 60-something down to 30-something because they're getting the rookie more involved. So, again, things are going great over here. Devonta Smith. Hey, guess who's back? Dallas Goedert. Things are going great over here. Michael Pittman against Cincinnati. Tony Pollard against Philly. Hey, you know who the number one rush D is in the league? Philly. Hey, you know who the hottest rush D is in the league? Who has improved the most over the course of the year? Philly. That's great. And then we have Devon Achane. You know who's a pass funnel and who's actually good at stopping the run? Tennessee. So hope he breaks off a big one. Otherwise, I'm screwed. And then I got the Dolphins defense, which is one of two bright spots in my lineup. I am pessimistic, if you cannot tell, and I don't have anything better on the bench.
Tyler is all ceiling, no floor.
Yeah, for sure. That, like, well, like last week, I put up 175 points, and that's going to be in my realm of capabilities every single week. My floor is 80. Like, it's not good.
So you're like a house built over a sinkhole.
You know, the typical terminology is the house built on the sand, but, you know, you can go ahead and say sinkhole.
I like that. Yeah.
Currently, Tyler, you and I are projected to play in the first round of the playoffs, as long as I remain in the sixth seed, and I'd be lying if I said I wasn't excited to play you.
Yeah, I would be too. And just know that the minute you get excited to play me, the minute that I'm pessimistic like this, like I was last week going against Monty, my team's going to go for 200. And but it's going to be like, well, where'd that come from?
You guys don't remember what playoff Blake is.
True.
All right, Rob, let's go through the Fighting Hedgehogs. They're 6-7, projected 136 points. Currently underdogs by 11 to Tyler. They've got Justin Herbert home against Denver at the quarterback spot. Running backs are Bijan Robinson and Isaiah Pacheco. Both are at home. Receivers, Garrett Wilson and DK Metcalf. Metcalf is at San Francisco. That's an unfavorable matchup. I don't like that. Cole Kmet coming off the bye at tight end at home against Detroit. Flex, Alexander Mattison and Chuba Hubbard both on the road with the Chargers defense home against Denver. What do you think about this starting lineup, Rob?
I mean, I don't like it very much. Justin Herbert hasn't been what you wanted him to be. And Denver is actually playing really good defense. They're finally getting, you know, using Bijan, so he's fine. Pacheco's Pacheco. Wilson's a coin flip on whether he'll do well or not. That's tough. And you already mentioned Metcalf. Madison against Vegas is okay, especially coming off a bye. And Chuba Hubbard did very good this last week. It's shown that Sanders is garbage there, so I might not like him too. And Denver can turn the ball over, so defense is fine, but it's whatever. But it's not. There's not a lot of upside here. There's not somebody I'm looking at that's like, oh, God, this guy could go off. It's just a meh lineup.
All right, let's look through this bench quick, Rob. Is there anything in here that's sticking its neck up for you? I mean, Chigga Conquu?
No.
Got a good amount of attention in the first half on Sunday for the Titans. He was going downfield. Is he warranted over Cole Kmet at home against Detroit? Are you scared of the defense enough there?
No, Kmet has had like, I don't know, 30 some targets. So, you know, average out over the last five games. So over five per game, maybe six. I would rather get those assured targets than a guy that's going to get one or two and maybe he gets a long one. No, I'd stick with Kmet.
Where do you sit on Alexander Mattison, just in general? Like, I mean, DJ Chark, we're looking at the names down here. Chark is something, or Algier, are names that you would replace in there on that first flex spot. Is it worth it? Do you have faith in Mattison?
I mean, I don't have faith in Mattison. He hasn't broken 10 points in 3 weeks, or the 3 weeks prior to the bye. So, but there's, like I said, there's not a lot of upside here unless, I mean, several weeks ago, you would have put Gus Edwards in and not even thought about it. But they're putting the kid in because he gives them juice. If you put Gus Edwards in, you're hoping he falls in the end zone twice.
Yep.
Because that's the only way you're going to score double-digit points. So, and no, I'm not putting Chark in. And losing Tank Dell hurts this team because Tank Dell would have been that guy in that spot where you've got Madison and you wouldn't even think twice about it. So it hurts this team. Now you've got to put Madison in and hope he produces.
All right, Tyler, you had something to say about the starting lineup in this team?
Yeah, did you guys see the news that Chuba Hubbard came out and said that this is the first time he's been 100% while he's been in the NFL?
No.
100% healthy?
Yep. Coming into his rookie year, he had double abductor surgery. I think, and maybe a knee surgery. And then last offseason, he had another double abductor surgery. He says that this is the first time that he's been 100% in the NFL, and it's showed the last 2 weeks. So he could very well be a game changer going into the playoffs. And then if we want a one of these. I forgot what that bumper was, so I had to play it. Blake,
your volume was like all the way down on that one.
Oh, yeah, you know really why? Because I'm not sharing my sound again. Great. Anyway, yeah,
that'll be a cool block of nothing on the podcast.
Yep, that'll be fun. Blake, you noted that DK Metcalf had a bad matchup. The one area San Francisco actually gives up points is to the wide receiver. They give up, let's see, on average 3.22 points more to the wide receivers than average. So that's the one place you can exploit San Francisco in fantasy.
I don't know. San Francisco at home, though, is another monster.
Well, that is literally San Francisco's stats across the year. So I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, what you have to hope is that it swaps, because the last time they played, Metcalf got 6 points against San Francisco, and it was the receptions went elsewhere. I think that was Thanksgiving when they got manhandled and scored 7 points. So he didn't fare very well against them the last time. At home, is he going to on the road and turn that around? He could, but I don't like the odds. I'm with Blake on this one.
All right, let's get into picking this one. I'll roll the dice first. They are two, which is taking the Reapers.
Sure is.
Rob, what do you feel?
I'm going to take the Reapers here. They've got, as I said, Tyler's house is over the sinking sand, but he does have upside. There is a ceiling there where there is, I just don't see who's going to be the outlier here unless you get really lucky for the Hogs. So give me Reapers.
Yeah, like we mentioned, Tyler's ceiling is high, but his floor is bad. I think Hogs' floor is a little bit better, but the player matchups are not good. I mean, Bijan, Tampa is their strong run defense and all the other things we talked about. So I'm going to go Reapers tentatively.
Tentatively? Yeah,
I'm also going to go there. You know, like we talked about, while my floor is low, I have every week an opportunity for my skilled players to get me 10 touchdowns, you know, whatever. What is that? 60 points on touchdowns alone, and then you add yards in. So that I'm going to take that chance.
All right, next matchup, we have the Hawaiian Shockers at 11-2, handed their second loss by Tyler last week. Congrats.
Suck it, dork.
The Shockers are projected 145 points. They are favored by 35. Over the Kegerator sitting at 4-9, eliminated from the playoffs, projected 110. I mean, there's no playoff implications for this one, so we're not even going to touch it.
No.
Do we even want to go through this matchup?
I mean, you can list the people if you want to. We'll just do it quick. There's no sense in really going into, like, who's going to do well. But, you know, for their team's sake, for their morale.
All right.
I don't care about their morale. I hope their morale crashes and burns.
we'll do this old style because okay. It'd be fun for Shockers to get a loss, but we'll just list the teams and we'll list it versus style.
Okay, let's do this. It's perfect.
But it'll be Shockers first, Keg second. We got Tua versus Matt Stafford, Jameer Gibbs and Javonte Williams versus David Montgomery and Zach Moss, receivers DJ Moore and Tyler Lockett versus Jerry Jeudy and Amari Cooper, tight ends Dalton Schultz, questionable, versus George Kittle. Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb in the flex spots. Fuck you, Monty. I hate when you do this. Yeah. Versus Keg with Kareem Hunt and Taysom Hill. Defense, Ravens versus Falcons.
Yeah. At every single spot, Shockers wins except tight end.
Oh, I was thinking running back as well. With Zach Moss having the full bore.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, but I don't mind Javonte against the Chargers. But yeah, you got both either side of the Detroit game, and Montgomery's more likely to get a touchdown because he gets like the 2 yarders where Gibbs has got to run it in from outside. So I guess you're right. He would have a slight edge at running back, but otherwise, yeah. Picking Shockers.
Yeah, well, obviously we're all picking Shockers, but I do have a question that it's not for this matchup because this matchup is a foregone conclusion, but I want to talk about Taysom Hill for a second. With Derek Carr suffering from, what is it, like 4 different injuries coming out of that Detroit game last week?
Yeah.
Taysom Hill Is he better if Carr is out and Jameis is in? Is he more of a start, or is he, you know, just the same as he is if Derek Carr was in?
I think that's a tough call. I think it's roughly the same. Maybe when they get in the red zone, he's going to be more of a threat, because I don't see Jameis as a touch passer who can throw well in the red zone. He's more of the guy that's going to throw downfield and give his guy a 50-50 ball, and half the time it'll get picked and half the time it'll be incomplete and the other half it'll be caught. Yeah, I know that's three halves. That's how weird Jameis is. And they might use Taysom more often in the red zone than just a play here or play there. He might be the red zone quarterback. That's highly possible. But so, yeah, I give him a little lift.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about, especially if you have him in other leagues. Are you looking at James Cook at Kansas City at all this week? I mean, it doesn't really matter this lineup, but do you like that matchup? Because James Cook's been pretty hot, especially in the latter half of this season.
Well, I'm going to assume that he hasn't looked at his team, because Justin Jefferson's going to play this week. So you got to find a way to get him in since you've been hanging on to him. Amari Cooper's got to come out because he's still in the protocol. You're probably not playing Kareem Hunt. You're probably playing James Cook. And you're probably playing Lamar, not Matt Stafford, at Baltimore. So I don't think he's looked at anything, to be fair, which would make this a little bit of a closer matchup.
Yeah, it has a little bit more upside for Keg than what we're looking at right now. But we're all taking Shakas. Dice.
Yeah, regardless, I'm still taking Shakas.
Dice are taking Keg, though. They're going out on an island here.
Well, I don't hate it.
Yeah, because you make those replacements, it looks a little better.
All right, we're back into our next matchup here tonight. Is the 8-5 Fly Eagles Fly, currently projected 159, let's call it that, versus the 6-7 Here's Tubby, projected 115. Yeah, you do that math yourself, but the Tubbies have not adjusted their lineup yet. Rob, why don't you take us through your lineup and your start and sit decisions?
All right, I got Dak against Philly at home, where they've played very well and put up high numbers, so I like that. I like McCaffrey against Seattle. He had a good game Thanksgiving. Dylan right now I have in against the Giants, pretty much because he's the starter there. And I don't think that Aaron Jones is coming back this week. A.J. Brown at Dallas. Waddle against Tennessee. Hockenson coming off the bye against Vegas. Safe Flowers against the Rams. And Devontae Adams against Minnesota. And then in rounding it out right now, we've got the Packers in it. Defense against the Giants. And their woeful quarterback situation.
Yeah, love the Packers D at Giants. I'm currently making a decision between starting the Packers D or the Niners D in another redraft league this week. Do you have any start sit decisions on your bench that you're thinking about?
I mean, not really. You know, it would depend if somebody got cleared. So, you know, if Charbonnet got cleared against San Francisco, still not playing because San Francisco's good. Same with Ken Walker. I'm leaving both of them. Hurt boys alone. If somehow Aaron Jones, they cleared him and he was fine and all good, I'd probably play him against the Giants over Dylan. You know, I could play Drake London because the matchup's good for passing against Tampa Bay, but it's really hard to play Drake London even at home. But that's the one spot maybe. And, you know, I accidentally got two defenses, as I said, during the waivers portion of the show. I mean, I could say, do I want to play the Packers or the Texans against the Jets? I don't know. They're both terrible, so who knows?
All right, I'm going to go through the Tubbies lineup here, Tyler, and I'm going to kind of insert as I go through it from their bench who I think they would play just kind of on the fly, and you will let me know at the end what changes you'd make. So we've got Brock Purdy at quarterback against Seattle. Niners are at home, like we said. Running backs, Etienne and Alvin Kamara. Receivers, I've got Jamar Chase and Adam Thielen, David Njoku at tight end. Flex, I'm looking at Josh Jacobs and Dallas Goedert, probably.
Yeah, because I don't think Christian Watson is going to play. They're historically very conservative. I mean, Bobby Trees is really the only other one, but he really has been a non-factor in this offense. So, I mean, unless he takes over the Tank Dell role, but even if he does, you know, I don't think that you're playing him. So yeah, I think you probably have to double up on tight ends here, which is going to really torpedo your upside. Thielen has been falling off ever since they made the coaching change. Mingo has been taking over that role, but having the three-headed monster of Etienne, Kamara, and Jacobs is nothing to like shrug at. And Brock Purdy could legitimately be a league winner. He looks great. And the other one I think that we need to consider is we know that Kyle Shanahan is acutely aware of player accolades. And so I know that in that building, they're going, hey, Brock Purdy's the leader for the MVP right now. What can we do to keep that going? You know, they tried their damnedest to keep the CMC touchdown train going, where it was all backups in except for CMC on the goal line. I think we see that with Purdy where, hey, maybe we leave him out there for an extra drive. Maybe we air it out a little bit more than we normally would against a bad team.
And I don't know.
Add some stats.
They saw last year what happens when they lose a quarterback. If you were to leave him in there just to pad a stat line and then he gets his shit broken and then you don't get anywhere because of that, I think you'd really be kicking yourself. So I don't know if they would do that with Purdy.
Well, I mean, then best worst case scenario, I should say, is that they throw more than they generally would.
That could be a thing. That could be a thing. But I don't think you'd see him in there with, you know,
like, no, I don't situation. Think you'll see him in there with backups and stuff like that. But yeah.
Yeah. So I think when changes are made and Sunday happens, this looks less like a, you know, minus 40 kind of look at for the like a favorite for the Eagles fly, more like a, I don't know, what do you say, Tyler? 15 and a half, 20 and yeah, 21 and a half.
That's what I'm going to look at right now. So, I mean, right now you have two zeros in this lineup. Let's add, looks like 17 for Josh Jacobs. Let's add another 10 for Dallas Goedert. So, you know, add 25, 30 points right there. And now all of a sudden you have a game.
Yeah. So let's have Dice take this one first. They are going to take the home team in Tubby. I'm going to put Tyler, you on the spot here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking Fly Eagles Fly. So, and to get into the playoff matchups, Fly Eagles Fly, we already talked about it, could get up to third, can't fall any further than they are currently. So, you know, not a must win for them. Here's Tubby. You're in the same situation as Freedy. You have to win and you need help. So absolutely desperate. I think that Tubby has the biggest uphill battle, because he is last in tiebreakers. So really you have to go off this week to have any semblance of a chance if it comes down to tiebreakers.
Yep. I'm going to roll Eagles Fly as well. Rob, what are you saying?
Well, I tell you what, I'm not going to root for who I think wins, or I'm not going to pick who I think wins. I'm going to pick what would be the most fun. And the most fun would be for Tubby to win and for a big chaos of a bunch of teams at 7-7. So that's what I'm picking.
Yeah, it must be nice being so secure in your overall pick'ems this year that you can just fuck around and find out with your playoff pick'ems.
Not only that, but I don't care whether I get the four or the three seed. It doesn't matter to me. So whether I win or lose, I'm not that stressed about it.
All right, next matchup, boys, is another nail-biter, potentially. We've got the Iowa Corn Wieners at 6-7. Projected 142 points versus the Cut My Tea Bags. Currently holds the number two seed, the leader of the division that I'm in, which I never remember the fucking names of them. Come on. Okay, this internet window is taking way too long to load. We are the Boxers division.
Sure.
Tea Bags is at 7-6. You know, really, really lighting this division on fire. Projected 139. So we only have a 4-point spread here between these two teams.
Or two, Rob, either way.
Rob, looking at the Corn Wieners.
Yeah, yeah.
Jake Browning starting here. Like we said before in the transaction section, Trevor Lawrence is questionable, probably not going to play this week. I assume, would you assume the same if Lawrence plays? Do you throw him out there or do you throw a healthy and trucking Jake Browning in the playoff bubble for the Bengals.
I mean, here's the thing. They're playing at Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? So yep. I don't know that I like.
You mean Cincinnati?
No, Trevor Lawrence is what I'm talking about.
Oh, well, Browning.
If he were to be cleared, Trevor Lawrence is playing at Cleveland, so I don't care for that matchup anyway. So, and the fact that if he somehow suited up, he would be very, very limited. I don't know. It would be hard to, but I would probably stick with a healthy Browning playing at home against the Colts than a gimpy Lawrence on the road.
All right, moving into some running backs, we've got Saquon Barkley and Rashad White. You can talk about Saquon at the end here if you want to. Rashad White's been pretty solid all year.
Yeah.
Receivers, Brandon Ayuk and Tyreek Hill, both are playing at home this week. Both solid guys. Oh, Dalton Kincaid.
Tyreek's a little more solid. What?
I said Dalton Kincaid is playing at KC for the tight end here. Something we didn't mention at the top of the show is Dawson Knox's practice window was open this week. I don't think he unseats Dalton Kincaid, but something to keep an eye on. Flex, Jordan Addison and Chris Olave in here with the Saints defense home against Carolina. Break it down, Rob.
I mean, it's a good solid lineup. The one thing is Addison's not going to be the alpha guy at receiver. Jefferson's back. It doesn't mean he's taking a back seat. It might actually help him get not as many targets per se, but, you know, more effective targets, depending on how Dobbs plays. Well, we're going to see how they play, how he plays with the full complement actually out on the field for the first time with him there. We saw what he did last week. So, and I do like Barkley because he's pretty much the only offensive weapon they have. So, I mean, a good solid lineup. We'll see what happens in New Orleans, who plays at quarterback. But I think with Carr probably being out, Olave's going to get a lot more downfield, like we were saying earlier, more, hey, go get it, Olave. And he's good enough, he can come down with those. So I like the lineup.
Are you playing Noah Brown over Addison, Rob?
Tyler, I was just about to get into the bench, you fucking little sniper.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if you had talked about it or not.
We haven't talked about the bench.
That's what I said.
No, I would. Not Ooh. Against the Jets. They're actually still pretty good against the pass. I do not think, especially after last week. He played last week.
But your opponent has Stroud.
Yeah, but he played last week and got a grand total of zero.
Where do you sit with Gabe Davis at KC? Big AFC matchup. Gabe Davis, 6 for 105 and a touchdown before the bye at Philly.
Yeah. I sit where I've always sat with Gabe Davis. I don't want him on my team. Because he makes you angry more than he makes you happy.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Rob, this team has him.
Yeah, well, I couldn't bring myself to play him.
Is there anybody that you maybe would start him over?
No.
Okay. No,
there's nobody here I would rather.
All right, Tyler.
That I would sit.
Getting into the teabags, like you said, C.J. Stroud is the quarterback at the Jets. Running backs are both on the road here. Kyren Williams and Devin Singletary. Correct me if I'm wrong, Kyren Williams comes off of a very down week last week.
No, he did not, yeah.
I think he started off slow, so that's kind of why I thought that. But Nico Collins and Keenan Allen are the receivers here. Jake Ferguson is at tight end, home against Philly. Flexes of Cooper Kupp and Derrick Henry, both on the road. Talk about your 2022 or 2021 all-star flex spots here. And then the defense is the Bucs at Atlanta. Before you get into it, Tyler, I just want to say I love the receivers here. Denver is a decent matchup. I mean, they've been floundering recently. Keenan Allen's awesome, and Nico Collins is awesome, even with the loss of Tank Dell. What do you think on the starting lineup?
Yeah, Denver's actually been really, really good against receivers. They're bad against running backs and tight ends, but it's Keenan Allen. But Pat Surtain has been amazing again this year. So And I got to think that he's following Keenan Allen around. So I do downgrade him a little. Cooper Kupp has not been good in the past, since he came off that second injury? Since the first two games. 6-6, 6-2, 4, and then 15 last week because he scored. Baltimore's good against the wide receiver, so I don't like Cooper Kupp. Nico Collins, like we said, you know, you may upgrade him and Brown with Dell out because they're going to be the only shows in town, but you're going up against, again, the best defense against quarterbacks and receivers. So I legitimately could not disagree with you more when you say that you like these receivers, because I have a hard time, other than their names, finding a bright spot.
Well, and I also don't like that you've got, okay, so we all agree the Jets are a good defense. You're playing three players against the Jets. You're absolutely limiting your upside by having quarterback, running back, and receiver all against a really good defense. I myself might toy with Justin Fields, who had a almost 30-point game, ran for over 100 yards against Detroit. Okay, I jumped into the bench just like Tyler did. There we go. Sorry.
Are you a part of this team's breakdown, or am I?
I just throw my two cents in.
Blake just wants to put the brakes on any good analysis that happens because he doesn't agree.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's almost like I'm the designated host for this podcast, and that we need some kind of fucking structure, or else it doesn't make any sense on how we go through stuff. If it's not
prefer anarchy.
Right. Why don't you two just talk about this bench then? Go ahead.
Cool. So Rob, what do you think about Justin Fields?
Well, I was starting to say that I think he might be a better play than Stroud this week. After losing Tank Dell, you know, last week in Denver, we can agree is a good defense. It has been lately. He didn't score. I don't think did Stroud get over 20 fantasy points last week?
Well, let me check that for you. He was at 19 and a half.
Okay. I mean, if you want between 15 and 25 from him against the Jets, I think that's what you can expect, is somewhere in that ballpark. I'd rather go with Justin Fields myself.
Yeah, I think CJ Stroud is, I mean, obviously going to be amazing for the fantasy playoffs. You have Tennessee twice, right?
Oh, so sure.
You're obviously hammering him in. But you have the Jets this week and then Cleveland week 16. Now, granted, you have, again, Fields to offset that. So that's good roster management. I assume Fields, let's see who he has. Arizona week 16. Amazing.
Yeah, which is great. Perfect. Yes.
So Fields, Stroud. That's your plan the rest of the way, and go with it. But I agree. I would be playing Fields. I don't know why Devin Singletary is in a starting lineup at all. That doesn't make any sense. He has not been involved.
Put Henry up in that spot, assuming he plays, and then you throw somebody else in there, like
Higgins, Mostert,
somebody like that. Yeah.
One of those guys. And you rock and roll. That's your best lineup. A great week for A, cut my teabags to not need to win. Did I talk about their playoff stuff or not? I don't think I did. So cut my teabags, pretty much locked into the bye. But he would have to get walloped on tiebreakers, and it's just not going to happen. So no matter what,
he will have to score like 100 points plus more than he scores.
Sam, well, really, it comes down to if he wins, he's in. And if he loses, then as long as one of the Fighting Hedgehogs or Tubby loses, he's in
All right.
So, and otherwise, you know, he's also in the catbird seat for tiebreakers. So I think it's a must, it's obviously a must win for Sam. And I think he's catching Nick on a good week. So since I don't respect Blake's authority on this podcast, I'm going Sam.
Oh, jeez. You're going to what?
Sam. I'm making my pick.
Go ahead, Blake. What's the dice say?
Oh, am I allowed to speak?
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Dice are even. That's a six. So they are taking the wieners.
This tough one.
It's a tough one because I'm torn between what I want to happen and who I feel, because what I feel is very close. I'm feeling the wieners. I'm feeling that wiener up.
I'm going to agree with you 100%, Blake. I just think there's guys on this team with could really, with big upside. So yeah, hit me with the wieners right across the face.
They call that a mushroom stamp.
Last matchup is the 2-11 Scary Terry coming off a hot win last week over the Teabags. Currently, they have not adjusted their lineup, so I'll let you guys handle that when you go through it.
Okay.
They're projected 103 versus the Hot Snakes. I'm also 6-7. Projected 148. But why don't you guys go through the playoff implications for, you know, my win-lose situations, if we think we haven't covered it enough already, but then go through the Scary Terry's lineup. And what do you want to call it? What do they call it? I forget the phrase. But
incredible podcasting.
You love the chaos, Tyler. I don't care who takes the lead on it. Fucking do it, both of you. Go. Same time.
Well, Rob, Scary Terry, he has locked up last place record-wise. Does that mean he's officially getting renamed?
Officially, by whoever wins, yes.
Cool. So Scary Terry officially getting renamed. Blake, only person that he can realistically lose the tiebreaker to is Sam. Sam is currently ahead of him by about 100 points. The other guys are behind him by more than 100 points. So again, Blake, when he's in. Same as Sam. If he loses, as long as one of Hogs or Tubby loses, then he's in as well because he'll get the tiebreaker. If he loses, he would need both to lose.
He would need both to lose.
Right.
Yeah. Or Sam to lose and one of the lower ones to lose. Either way.
No, because if Sam loses, Sam has the tiebreaker on Blake. So,
because Blake would lose. You're right. So if Blake loses...
If Blake loses, he needs everyone else to lose, except for Sam.
Yeah, okay. So, he needs the other two to lose. So don't lose, Blake.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. Going through this team, Rob, we're doing it my way. Fuck this. You got Russell Wilson at the Chargers, or no other option. So congrats. You get Russell Wilson against the Chargers.
Done.
At running back, you have Sam J. Perine, Latavius Murray, or Royce Freeman.
Yeah, I guess you're going to put Latavius Murray in and Perine, why not? Yeah.
Yep. At receiver, you have Courtland Sutton, good matchup against the Chargers.
Sure.
Puka Nacua, who was quote-unquote limited today, but Sean McVay came out and said, I don't know what that means. He did everything.
Yeah, he's playing. He'll be fine.
Okay.
He'll be fine other than it's the Baltimore defense who's good.
Right. At tight end, you have either Evan Ingram or Tyler Higbee. I assume you're playing Ingram there.
Yes, you are.
At flex, you have Deontay Johnson in that terrible game against New England. Rice versus Buffalo. Other options, Chris Godwin at Atlanta. Jacoby Myers versus Minnesota. A hurt Zay Jones. Tyler Boyd versus Indy. Or Justin Watson versus Buffalo.
Well, I mean, Zay Jones is always hurt, so you can't pay attention to that. So to me, Jacoby Myers is hard to play because he hasn't really done a whole lot since what's his nuts has been in a quarterback. He only has eyes for Devontae Adams. Rice is a good, a good upside play. But because now Christian Kirk is out, Zay Jones got a lot of looks, even though it's against Cleveland, which I hate. Screw it.
And with probably a backup quarterback.
Probably, yeah, stick with Rice. Yeah, you're playing, I mean, you're putting in, it's not great, you're putting Latavius Murray and hoping he bumbles into the end zone, but that's not going to improve your lot much. It's going to throw you maybe another 10, so it's like a 111 to 148, you know, yippee dippy.
Tell you what, I think that Chris Godwin this week, I know he's been bad for the last 2 months, but the coach came out today and said, we have to get Chris Godwin the ball, and Todd Bowles is one of those coaches... Thing. Yeah, Todd Bowles is one of those coaches that when he says something, that generally comes to fruition. So
there you go.
I expect him to, you know, what he's been averaging like 6 or 7 targets a game. I would expect him to be at least at that this week. And, you know, let's see one of these 6 catch games again versus the 3 or 4.
All right. Yeah. But if that being the case, then you put Godwin in instead of Rice and roll. All right.
So, as far as my team goes, I'm currently starting Josh Allen coming off the bye against a beatable Kansas City defense, as Jordan Love proved last week. However, they are at home, which KC at home. It's that's a tough place to play. Running backs, I have Austin Ekeler and Breece Hall. Both are at home. Breece Hall is a question mark in my lineup right now. I just, Houston, historically a run funnel defense, but they've been exactly middle of the road this year. So, I am almost about to bench him for Jalen Warren.
I'll tell you what, the optimism, not just you, but every fantasy manager had with these guys a month ago, that has so waned coming into this week. And with Ekeler, this is a if he can't come right here, he can't come at all game, because it's against Denver. Denver's terrible against the run, but Eckler's been bad lately. So if you don't see a good Ekeler game here, like, you have to be panicking going into the playoffs.
Well, yeah. Well, why don't you just talk about what's behind this stone-faced demeanor that I carry on?
Stone-faced.
Basically, if Ekeler doesn't perform this week, I have major problems, and Ekeler might find his way onto my bench in the first week of the playoffs, which I'm not stoked about. But getting my receivers, which is my strong suit, I've got Deebo Samuel and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Yeah. Tight end, Sam Laporta. Amon-Ra and Sam Laporta, obviously both same team, at Chicago this week. Flex, Mike Evans and Jalen Warren. Like I said, Warren might find his way into my RB2 spot, which leaves my flex open for a myriad of things here. I feel very confident in Mike Evans, and I am subscribed to the downfall of Chris Godwin this year. Baker loves himself some Evans. But in that flex too, I'm looking at DeAndre Hopkins is the number one look. I mean, Will Levis loves chucking the ball. Titans are at Miami this week. DeAndre Hopkins I've benched in the last couple of weeks, and he's scored double digits two out of the last three. So I'm looking at probably starting him benching Breece, but I don't know if my heart can take that.
You could do that. I mean, I think the two spots that you would have to look at if you were going to do that would be Hopkins or Keaton Mitchell, especially coming off the bye and them going into the bye saying, hey, this kid, maybe we got to give him the ball more. Coming out of the bye, they may have figured out more ways to do that. And at home against the Rams, might be the perfect spot. So
exactly the point I was going to make, an exploitable Rams defense, especially for young outside of the hashes running back talent in Keaton Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Super poised for a breakout week, because Justice Hill is basically non-existent in that backfield anymore. The only thing I'm looking at, I mean, Jaden Reed he's on this team for in case I lose one of my receivers. But Jared Goff coming back for that double stack of Amon-Ra and Sam Laporta at Chicago, who's a middle of the road passing defense. If I feel like that KC is going to be hurting after their loss this last week and going to come out with a vengeance against a exploitable Bills offense, I don't know. That's going to be my biggest choice here going into this weekend.
I could see why the stack's attractive, but when they were at home against Chicago, he threw three picks against that defense, and it took to the end of the game before he finally broke 20 points because of a late touchdown. So, I mean, their defense, Chicago's defense, to be fair, has the last 4 or 5 weeks has played really, really good ball and has been getting after the quarterback. So, and with Detroit saying they want a renewed emphasis on the run and all that, and the fact that Chicago's a little more beatable there, I like Allen. I like Allen here against Kansas City. I think that they will show up and play.
I do too, and that's kind of where I'm leaning right now. But you know, everybody gets floppy floppy at 11:30 on Sunday morning. So let's go ahead and have the dice take this matchup. Since I forgot to mention the top of things because you guys are still hurting my feelings from the last matchup. obviously, God. The last one we go through every week is the Commissioner's Cup. Tyler, since this is the last regular season matchup of the year,
can
you give us the Commissioner's Cup stats for this year?
Nope.
Do you have those? No?
Nope, sure can't.
All right, excellent. I hope I hang on to it going into next year. Dice are going to – that's cocked. That's also cocked. Four, they're taking the Scary Terry.
Dice. Rob, are trying to stay under 500 for the year.
I so desperately want Terry to win.
I said Rob.
But, I'm taking the snakes. sorry, Terry, this you're not doing two in a row.
All right, now Tyler, get into your monologue.
I so desperately want Terry to win. Since I don't have games to just throw away in my picks, I have to take snakes. But if Terry were to win this and just send Blake's season into chaos where he has to look around and wait, does Terry have any Monday night players? No, it looks like he's all Sunday. And does Blake have any Monday? Because we do have two Monday night games. Oh, Hopkins would be, Dubs would be, Jaden Reed would be. We are only playing, you know, maybe one of those. If it comes down to Sunday night and Blake needs like 15 from Hopkins to win and potentially get into the playoffs, that would be absolute peak fantasy football, and I just need that.
You're a disgusting human being.
Well, I like what I like.
I'm taking myself. That brings us to the end of the title. Why don't you go ahead and play us out? Jesus Christ, my words are leaving me.
Sadness.